I'm going to ask you a question. Could you honestly say that you see our God perfectly, clearly, with absolute understanding of what he's about and who he is? Could you say that this morning? No. Good. Thank you. You're honest people. That was just a test. Now, could you honestly say that you can see before you the path that he has planned for you, straight from your toes on into the future, wherever it should go? Can you see that with absolute clarity? Or are things a little bit out of focus? That's a path, by the way, right there. And by the way, in case you missed it, that's a painting of the face of God by Michelangelo. So often things are fuzzy. So often things are unclear to us. And sometimes, especially when it comes to the path before us. And yet, somehow, for some reason, so often, whether it's in the face of our children or brothers and sisters in the church or people out in the community, we feel like we have to give the impression that we do see everything crystal clear and perfectly, that we do know absolutely where things go from here. And sometimes, especially when you're in leadership, it feels that much more compelling that you have to have this sense. And of course, you do need to have some sense of where we are going. Despite the fact, though, that the Word of God says so much to tell us otherwise, Paul says, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 12, you remember this? Now we see in a mirror dimly. He talked about seeing in a mirror of his day, one of the ones that was beaten, perhaps from brass, not as nice and smooth as what we have today. Now we see in a mirror dimly, he said. In 2 Corinthians 3:18, talking about how we see the glory of the Lord and are transformed into his likeness, he says again, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. And then we look on, if I can get this slide, they said this was going to give me trouble today maybe. James chapter 4, verse 14. Where he talks about, don't say, oh, I'm going to be here this time next year or there this time next year. He says, you do not know what will happen tomorrow. None of us can make a claim on seeing either who God is or what the future holds with any kind of absolute clarity. You may remember what Jesus said to his disciples. Click, 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 please. Ah. See, that's the secret. Please. Jesus said to his disciples in John 16, he said, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. That word that's translated guide there comes from the same root as we get our word odometer. It means the way. He will show you the way. He will give you live guidance on the way. He will guide you in all truth. This is what is promised to us. So, in the light of the fact that everything seems so fuzzy so often to us, in the light of the fact that we can't arrogantly or proudly say, I know all the way, every step of the way. I know everything about God, so let me enlighten you. What do we do? What do we do when things are fuzzy before us? Last night, I went to the prophecy seminar over at Fairmont. How many of you were there at the prophecy seminar at Fairmont with Tim Rosenberg? And I listened to him make an amazing presentation. And if you aren't familiar with what he presents, he goes into the chapters of Daniel that nobody else goes to. And I mean even most of our evangelists in the Adventist church. We don't venture into Daniel 11 and 12. We barely touch Daniel 10. And Tim Rosenberg ventures into Daniel 11 and 12 and finds in there a key to understanding issues very relevant to our time, issues that are in front of the people. You might think it's a little bit of a scary thing, by the way, that his title is Islam and Christianity. I think it might say even Islam versus Christianity and Bible prophecy. Well, last night, Pastor Tracy and Tim yesterday went to visit the imam at a mosque here in town. And, of course, that's a very appropriate thing when you publicize something like Islam versus Christianity. They went there to share with him the thrust of what he was going to be sharing, and he came last night. And I was very happy to see him. And Tim showed such insight. At one point, if you were there, you saw it on the slide, was the question, do we all serve the same God? Oh, that gets very controversial. I think Dwight Nelson got in trouble for using the wrong term one time in a sermon. You can still hear reverberations about that on the internet. He said, do we all serve the same God? And by this time, the imam had gone. I wish he had been able to stay there, because here's what Tim said, and this gives you an insight into where his heart is. He said, no, we don't. He said, the majority of Christians and the majority of Muslims serve a God who is vengeful and hateful. And that is not the true God. But there are a portion both of Muslims and Christians who are serving and seeking a God of love and a God of truth. So he didn't make the divide between our Muslims and Christians. You see the wonderful Spirit-led insight in that. So anyway, after the presentation last night, I don't remember who it was, but I ran into someone who came up to me and said, is there a place that we can get the recordings? It was just too much. I can't retain all of that. And I have to say, when I go to a seminar like that and I listen to him present these things, these amazing insights and patterns that he sees, I'm left saying, I've got to really check this out. I've got to do like the Bereans, you know. They received the word with all readiness and they searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. I've got to look into this. And I can't say after having been there last night, all right, I know for sure that what he said is right on the money, and now I know what I didn't know before. It gave me leads to follow. It gave me things to check in. But I cannot say with absolute certainty that I have now found I'm going to be going to more of his seminars so that I can continue to follow on and see what he has to say. I'm going to be looking at his materials. He has a website as well that you can look at, and you can actually listen to his talks again and again and again until you get them. And it might take just that. But anyway, what do you do in the meantime? While you're still trying to figure it out, whether the thing that you're trying to figure out is the plan for your life, who God really is, or the interpretation of Bible prophecy, what do you do in the meantime until you have it all figured out? By the way, until you get to heaven, in other words. But we keep going forward, don't we? Because he promised the Spirit will guide us into all truth. And if we're not looking, he's not going to guide us. And there is, by the way, a truth to guide into. Just because we don't see things with clarity doesn't mean that there is not a truth that he is leading us into. And so I just want to make that clear. So what do we do in the meantime? Do any of you recognize this man? You have to think back. 2 years. I didn't think you would, but I thought I'd give it a shot. You see, he's got a bow and arrow. This is Im Dong Hyun. And he was, just before the Olympics, the world champion in the 72 arrows competition. Now, that's a competition where the archers have a target 4 feet tall and wide, because it's a circle, and from 70 meters away, they shoot off 72 arrows. They can take no more than 40 seconds for each arrow, and see how close they can cluster them in the center. Now, how Im Dong-hyun came to my attention was that I heard about him on the news during the Olympics. They were talking about him, and they said, "This South Korean archer is legally blind." And I said, "What? I've got to find out more about this guy." So, of course, as often happens when you get news media hype and internet buzz, the situation isn't exactly like they say it is in the headlines. When he takes off his glasses, he sees 2,200. And the fact of the matter is, if you see 2,200 and it's uncorrectable, you're legally blind. Now, without my glasses, I see like Im Dong-hyun. Hello, fuzzy people. Now I have an excuse for not remembering your name. And he is more comfortable shooting without his glasses. So he shoots without his glasses. Now, let me see if I can give you an idea. There he is. He, by the way, just before the Olympics in 2012, he set the world record. He broke the world record for the 72-arrow competition. And the record that he broke was his own record. And it's all in points. But anyway, so he broke the record that he himself had set. He did not perform as expected in the Olympics. I think he might have gotten a bronze medal. But he was expected to take the gold, naturally. But can you imagine shooting a target at 70 yards with everything fuzzy? Well, I wanted to be able to show you a little bit of something, what that's like, just so you can get the picture. What does Im Dong-hyun see? Okay, now on this screen, this target is actually 4 feet. And you, who are in the back row, are at about 70 meters, according to my pacing off of this room. So, what you see here is what a person with 20/20 vision, if you're in the back row, would see if they are looking at that arrow, at that target from 70 meters. Now here it is, out of focus, all right? By the way, I had fun figuring out how to do this. I found an online calculator that would give me the angular size of an object. So at 70 meters, the 4-foot-wide target is, it takes 1 degree of your vision. So if you drew a line from your eye to the top, from your eye to the top of the target and to the bottom of the target, that would make a 1 degree angle. So if you know that, then you can compute the size that it would look at any distance. So that's what we did. We being me, myself, and I. So there it is, 70 meters, 76 and a half yards. Now, again, this is correctly sized for the back row. It's 4 feet tall. Now, how did I get the out-of-focus idea? Okay, so here's what I did. I should have left my camera in my pocket. I usually have my camera in my pocket. Here's what I did. It was really fun. And I hope this doesn't come across as bragging, because it probably is. But anyway, so I figured out, okay, I put the image on my laptop screen, measured how far away I was from it so that I could compute that right, and then I took my camera and I took off my glasses and I, of course, with my camera right here, the screen on the camera was in focus, so I put my camera out of focus until what was on this screen looked like what was on that screen. Wasn't that fun? It made me feel really good, I have to confess. So there it is for the back row. Can you imagine shooting at that? Now, if you're in the middle rows, right in there. Can you imagine this? With good eyes, shooting at a target 76 and a half feet away, and there it is, blurry. Okay? By the way, you notice, you might start to understand a little bit of advantage. For us who have it all blurred out, things actually get bigger when you're nearsighted. So the target gets bigger even as it gets fuzzier. So, and if you're in the front row, which nobody is. oh, sorry, son. I didn't notice you. So if you're in the front row, that's the apparent size of it for the front row. And that is the blurry apparent size of it in the front row. Can you imagine, again, doing that with 20/20 vision? But Im Dong-hyun, he takes off his glasses and does his shooting. See, just so you know what this does to me, it has now come into focus. So, he shoots. What do you think is going through his mind? What do you think he is thinking to himself as he looks at that fuzzy target way off? How can he ensure success? Look, what's that? Pay attention. That's step one. I want you to look in your bulletin about 3/4 of the way down the screen. He aims for the center. Whatever he sees, he aims for the center. Oh, I forgot I animated it. He aims for the center. That's what he does. Whatever he sees the fuzzy blob. It's round, and as you saw, you can see a yellowishness in the center, which kind of mixes with the red and makes it kind of an orangish, yellowish blob in the center. And he looks at that, and he determines where the center of that is. And you might have seen on his bow that he has an aiming device. That's a stick that goes out from his arrow. And I don't know if he adjusts that for distance. He probably does. Just like on a shotgun, you adjust your sights so that you have the distance. And he adjusts that, and then he puts that point right in the center of the fuzzy blob that he sees. He aims in the center, and as you can tell, and as you can look up yourself and find out, it works pretty well for him. He aims for the center. By the way, think about the archers who have 20/20 vision. What do you think they do? They aim for the center too. And of course, at the Olympics, some of them beat him. So anyway, that works as well. The whole deal is to aim for the center. Now let's go back to our original question. As we listen, as we study, as we seek, as we dig for gems, as we hungrily open ourselves to God's prophetic words and will for our time, what do we do in the meantime? As things are coming into focus or not coming into focus, what do we do while we're trying to understand? What do? We aim for the center. Is that the same thing as saying what some have advised me? I remember when I was, I don't remember if I've said this before. I remember when I was young. talking to some preachers that were further ahead of me in the way. And I remember one guy saying to me, "You're going to find people in the extremes on this side, and you're going to find people in the extremes on this side. What you need to do is you need to go down the middle of the road. You always be okay in the middle of the road." Evidently, someone told that to the jackrabbit I saw just the other day in the middle of the road. I didn't hit it. He was already hit. But anyway, That didn't quite sound right to me. Because I read the life of Jesus, sometimes within the context of his times, he looked like a liberal. And sometimes he looked more conservative than the most conservative Pharisee that there was. Because if you read the scriptures, the prophecies of Jesus, he didn't say, "It is written of me in the book, I delight to walk down the middle of the road, oh my God." He said, "I delight to do your will." Jesus was committed to following the Father's way, no matter what it looked like to anybody. If it looked extremely liberal, if it looked extremely conservative, if it looked somewhere in between, that was not his concern. His concern was to follow the Father's way no matter what. I see some of you nodding. I hope that makes sense to you because that's how we are going to go through. So how do you find the center for God's will? When they asked Jesus what it was all about, I want to tell you today, he defined the center. And I want to make it clear again that by defining the center, we are not saying, don't study prophecy. By defining the center, we are not saying, do not search to find God's will for the different areas of your life, what is pleasing to him and what is not pleasing to him, what he wants you to do and what he doesn't want you to do. We're not saying that at all. But what I am saying is, here is the center. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And I don't think I have this on the screen, but you know what he says next. He says, on these two things hang all the law and the prophets. So was Jesus saying, throw out the details. All you need is love God and love people. Was Jesus saying that? He was saying the only way that you can understand the details is if you know that they are all about loving God with everything you have and loving everyone else at least as much as you love yourself. He was saying that is what it is all about, every last detail. It's all about that. That is the center. Can you comprehend that? Are you going to have to go home and pour over these two verses over and over to basically get what they mean? That's pretty simple, isn't it? Simple to understand. You need the power of God and a miracle of his grace to live it. And that is available in him through Jesus. But it's simple to understand. Do you need me to make a chart that you can take home? So and put it on your refrigerator to show you, love the Lord your God with all your strength, soul, might, and love your neighbor as yourself? No, you don't. You know where the center is. You know where the center of the target is. It's time to wake up each day seeking the Lord to aim for that center. And he will help you by his word, by listening to teachers, by studying, and by experience of his power in your life to fill in the details. But you can wake up praying and committed to aim for the center, to love the Lord your God with all you have, and to love your neighbor as yourself. Bringing those two commandments into one. You remember what Jesus said after telling the parable of the sheep and the goats, where he said to the both groups, to one he says, I was naked and you clothed me, hungry and you fed me, etc. And to the other group he said, I was naked and you didn't clothe me, I was hungry and you didn't feed me. And then he said, to those who found acceptance in his kingdom, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. Do you see how that brings those two great commandments into one? Jesus said, as you love the people around you, you love him. John said, and I don't have that scripture up here either, but John said, if you say, Or was it James? If you say that you love God, but you don't love the people around you that you can see, how can you say you love God that you can't see when you don't love your brother that you can see? God takes it personally how you treat people, by the way. And that's anybody. Because you remember, we love him because he first loved us. You cannot comprehend how special you are to God. You can't comprehend how much and with what intensity he thinks about you with love. And he does the same thing for every other person that you will ever meet. You're infinitely special, just like everybody else, because God loves you more than you could ever comprehend. And so he takes it personally how we treat one another. This is aiming for the center. We're talking about the supreme, the extreme focus to which he calls all of his followers. When it comes down to it, what's the secret of doing that? What's the secret of living that life of love to God and to our fellow human beings? I love the way it's brought together in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I just have this phrase in it, but I'd invite you to open your Bible to Hebrews chapter 12, just so that you can see it in the full flow of what it says. He's talking about running in a race this time. And of course, running in a race, you want to look towards the finish line, right? Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Boy, if you read that and stopped there, what would you be doing? How would you be running? Well, it says laying aside every weight and the sin that so easily besets you, right? So you'd be running, constantly checking yourself. How successful do you think you would be? Oh, there's something. You know? Oh, what's that? Would you succeed? Have any of you ever run a race with anybody? Would you succeed if you were constantly checking yourself while you're running? Would you? No, you wouldn't. The second verse gives the secret. Looking unto Jesus. This is how you do it. This is how you find the way. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Ultimately, my friends, Jesus is the center. In Jesus is the love of God personified. In Jesus is the example of how to love God with everything that you have and how to love every single person that you encounter, from yourself to your family to your neighbors to the people in the church family to your work associates, every single person. In Jesus, we see the love of God coming to us, so that he who first loves us brings love to him out of our own hearts. In Jesus, we see love personified, making every life better that he encountered. Doing the good that we talked about a week or two ago, that he went about doing. In Jesus is everything. Jesus ultimately is the center. And so the call that I make to you today, it's time, if anything else has been distracting us from him, it's time to look to Jesus. It's time to look to Jesus. And you know what? Even it says, as you look to other people in need, that he leads you to help. He says, that's me, so look to Jesus. Look to Jesus. Get to know him in his word. Get to know him by trusting in his promises and seeing what he does in your life. But keep looking to Jesus. You know, sometimes we joke about these that WWJD craze that went around Christian circles. Actually, it's gone in waves. Started, I think, in the 1800s with that book, In His Steps. And every once in a while, people focus on it again. What would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? Other people say, do what Jesus did, but do you know where the focus is? In your situation, you don't have to just use your imagination. You can actually talk to him and look to him and say, Jesus, what do you want me to do? And he will bring to your mind his character, his personality, his loving ways, and show you what to do in any situation. With your kids, and that can be so hard to remember, with your associates, with your family, with your wife, with your husband, he will show you what to do if you will look to him, no matter how fuzzy things look. And I will even say, if you're trying to understand Bible prophecy and it's not coming clear to you, what do you do? Look to Jesus. Jesus said of the scriptures to the Pharisees, you search the scriptures, thinking that in them you find eternal life. And they are they that testify of me, he said. Look to Jesus. He is the center, the encapsulation, the crystallization, the personification of love to God and love to humanity. Look to Jesus. Will you join me in looking to Jesus? That's what I want to do today, and that's what I want to do every day of my life, is to look to Jesus. There's no other place where things come together and make sense like they do when you look to Jesus. There's no other place where you can find the well of motivation and love from which God designed you to live your life. Look to Jesus. If you know, this song, please join me in singing it. It's about Jesus, and it's about getting our focus back on him. When the music fades and all is stripped away, and I simply come, longing just to bring something that's of worth, that can bless your heart. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear, you're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it, when it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. King of endless worth, no one could express how much you deserve. Though I'm weak and poor, all I have is yours, every single breath. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear, you're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it, when it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. Oh, Lord, you're beautiful. Your face is all I seek. And when your eyes are on this child, your grace abounds to me. We're worship and sing it again. Oh Lord, you're beautiful. Your face is all I see. And when your eyes are on this child, your grace abounds to me. Oh, Father, forgive us for all the places that we have looked. We've looked in pleasure. We've looked in competition. We've looked in just trying to be right because everybody's wrong. We've looked in so many places. And sometimes we've even looked in your word in a way in which you did not intend. Father, teach us today to look to you in everything, to fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. When we go to the word, to be looking for him, to be looking for you, to know you, not just to know about you. And as we go through life, to be looking for your leading, to live the life of love that you have called us to, a life of doing good for others and of pointing them to Jesus too. Oh, Father, forgive us for all of the misdirected ways that we have looked, and call us by your Spirit to continually look to you and to look to what you have called us to love you with all of our hearts, with all our might, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. Father, I want to pray especially today for anyone who does not know you yet today, who has not really seen you for who you are and put their trust in you. Our deepest desire is that that person, whoever it may be, will come to know you today. And know that when Jesus, you came for us, you came for that person, each one of us. And that today, we can put our trust in you. That you have taken our place so that our sins are washed away. That you have risen in power so that we can rise too, to live a new life of love and of following your ways. After the service, if that's you and you want to be sure, I've asked for one of our leaders to be in each of these front corners of the church so that they can talk with you personally and pray with you personally and show you from the scriptures so that you can know that your sins are forgiven, that you have eternal life through Jesus, and that you have his power through the Spirit to live the life that he called you to, going all the way home. For all of us, Father, today, I ask that every time our eyes get diverted to one side or the other from you, that your Spirit will remind us to keep looking to Jesus. Whether it's discouragement or other things, Father, to keep looking to Jesus and find our peace and our way in him. We ask these things in his name. Amen.